So yes, hello and welcome to Cultism Podcast. My name's Ian Todd. I'm joined by
Harry Medium.
Thanks very much for your tweets and whatnot. We've got the odd scattering here. There's quite a lot of random ones I've put forward in this one. So.
Yeah,
but it's not weird. It's not weird.
It's always the same.
It's not as unsettling as the last one.
No, Christ.
But yeah, we're going to start off with a show which was on the BBC. I think it was the late 90s, early noughties type time. Strange.
Wasn't it strange?
And it had Richard Coyle, who was Jeff in Coupling. He was the main guy in it, with lovely Samantha Janus as well.
With the lips.
Indeed. And the sad thing is with this show, it was really good, but it only got cancelled, well, stopped, because she got pregnant, so they couldn't do any more.
Really?
Yeah. So it was kind of like up in the air, and I thought it had real potential.
I'm not sure about that. I seem to remember catching bits of it, but never sticking it out. I know it suffered because of scheduling and stuff, but it never seemed like quite a dark. I mean, demons coming up out of the London sewers in the modern age with a priest. It seems a hard sell to me even now.
Right. I just think for me, it came at the time where you're wanting something like that, you know, more sci-fi sort of horror thing, doing it British. So maybe I was a bit more like, yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah.
Like when I first saw Crime Traveller. It's amazing, you know.
Or Bugs.
But then you realise the years later. But yeah, Strange was quite an interesting one, I think. It's a well kind of trail. But everyone's been down this path of kind of the religious elements of evil spirits and all that, and also has like he's like psychic, was a Down syndrome kid as well.
Yeah,
which was a bit.
This was on BBC One, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. Yeah. Which was quite an interesting path to take, but I thought they kind of worked okay together, because you've got to have that two opposites working again. I suppose it was just after X-Files as well, so they're obviously trying to in some way kind of cash in on that, I suppose.
Maybe.
We've never really cashed in on the X-Files, I don't think. We've never really had anything that's been close.
We should, shouldn't we? I mean, me and you should do an X-Files-esque show.
Oh, that'd be brilliant. That'd be brilliant.
Let's hope.
But yeah, the next one on the agenda is a bit of a classic, but very much a cult thing. Black Christmas.
Never heard of it.
You've never lived. Ah, Google it, YouTube it now. You've got a YouTube Black Christmas trailer, because they remade it recently. But the tagline was Black Xmas, which just sounds rubbish. No one's going to be interested in that. Yeah, Black Christmas is a massively influential film in terms of the horror, because pre-Halloween and stuff.
Oh, it's horror, right. Oh, no, yeah. Hang on then, that does ring a bell. Trailer for sale or rent. Let's have a look at it then. Let's see now.
It's got her off Superman in Lois Lane.
Lois Lane, she's coming down the stairs and she is going up them again. Black Christmas. Copyright film funded in 1974. Quite gothic, bit of caroling. Quite a lot of work. Ah, Jesus. Olivia Hussey, she is as well. Oh, hair pulling. Keir Dull. Hi, Keir Dull. Oh, it's quite a nice house. Ah, a bag. Oh my crikey. Margot Kid, not. When are we going to get to the good stuff? Yeah. Oh my God, it's Captain Handy. John Saxon as Lieutenant Fuller. Is that a body? Is it a body? It's a strange plastic body. This trailer is like 5 minutes long, you realise?
Oh, really? I thought it was like a 30-seconder.
Oh my God, what's he? It's got first person bits in it, like modern stuff.
Yeah, it's pretty scary.
It's a bit crazy, I'm going to switch it off.
Yeah, basically, yeah, I like the thought of making Christmas more scary and evilly, you know, and I don't think there's enough films like that, so this film was obviously, it's quite, it's still very a cult thing, and some of the bits were like suffocation and stuff, and the it's quite messed up, and there's a phone call, there's some quite interesting phone calls in it, like use of kind of someone ringing pre-Halloween and stuff. But yeah, no, I think it's pretty scary. Like, I think it's definitely worth a watch. It's never on telly, like, to be honest with you.
No, I'm not surprised.
Well, around Christmas maybe he's not, but Halloween, you know, you thought.
Halloween, Christmas. Michael Myers at Christmas time. What's next? A Star Wars Christmas special?
I was actually thinking that Michael Myers Christmas special. It sounds like you know, he goes on holiday or something. You know? But I've always wanted to see a horror icon in a sitcom situation. Everybody Loves Michael Myers and stuff. I think that'd be brilliant.
Yeah, I do love Everybody Loves Raymond. So Everybody Likes Michael Myers. I think that'd be a good show. Everybody Likes Michael Myers.
Everybody Hates Jason, you know? It's like, you know.
Yeah, there's some sort of rivalry there. So yeah, Black Christmas, I probably won't ever watch it.
The next one you've definitely seen, Sean's Show.
Yes.
Sean Hughes is someone for me when I was growing up. I used to listen to his stand-up tapes.
Yeah.
And he was really influential, and I thought he was brilliant. And Sean Show was something that I got into quite late, to be honest with you. It was probably a little bit too early for me to be get into Sean Show when it was on.
You see, I was 18, so I was the perfect age.
Oh, you're perfect. Yeah, it's kind of like, I'm trying to think what else was on Channel 4 around the time. Like
Vic and Bob.
Big Night Out
and
stuff. Yeah, yeah. And The Word and stuff, you know, that's all
the
time.
Totally.
But
and
yeah.
Richard and Herring.
Of course, yeah. But for me, like, yeah, Sean's Show, I've got on DVD. You can get it dead cheap now, but...
Can you? Oh, I need it.
Yes, I think I got it for about £4.
Oh, I need it. I'm going to look for it now.
I really enjoyed it. I mean, I love that sort of stupid, daft, sort of surreal, sort of... when you take it out of the classic sitcom concept and you kind of, like, you see the sets there and stuff. And I like that. It's good. Yeah, I've always had a lot of time for Sean Hughes, even though he's kind of drifted a little bit out of the coolness now, hasn't he?
He's a bit weird now.
Well, I saw him not that long ago, and he still hadn't settled down, and he's still kind of similar sort of issues he's dealing with. I thought he would have kind of maybe settled down by now or something.
What do you mean? You saw him socially?
No, I know I saw him there live. I saw him live.
Oh, right.
Yeah, and he was good, but a little bit fat there, you know, a little bit fat in the face. You know?
I can only find series one on the internet.
There's only one series.
No, there wasn't. There was two series, you dasty.
Wikipedia.
You Wikipedia it now and then apologise.
There's a Sean Shorts, apparently, which was after that way, but apparently that you can't get that anywhere.
It was two series of six.
Nah.
You look at it.
I've already looked into this widely, and I could only find the one series.
I do not believe you. I'm going to look it up. Season one, seven episodes. Season two, seven episodes. Just Wikipedia it, man.
Well, that's weird because that's very peculiar. Have I then got series one and two then? I don't think series two is actually out then.
Well, that's stupid, because Series 2 is brilliant.
Oh, that's very peculiar. That annoys me, that I thought that was it.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I do apologise to you then.
Good.
Yeah. I don't think there's any talk of it actually coming out on Series 2. I'm sure it'll be on the old net somewhere, but...
On the old net?
Yeah, the old net, not the new net, the old net. But yeah, I'll have to have a look around for about that. Because I've always think there's some mad little stuff that people have on YouTube, like stuff that you can't get anywhere. So, yeah. But yeah, so you're a fan of Sean's Show then?
I am, yeah. I loved it. Repetitive jokes, repetitive jokes, Morrissey, and one of the Troughton brothers.
Was that later? Because in the first series, I didn't notice him.
He was Barry the Pub. I think he was. Was it David Troughton?
That was him, huh?
Yes.
And obviously him from Bread was in it, and Goodnight Sweetheart as well. Yeah.
Fatty.
Yeah, bloody hell. But yeah, I think Sean Hughes kind of did some random stuff in his career. I mean, Buzzcocks and all that. Yeah.
He was good on Buzzcocks, though. Wasn't he?
He was good, and then he started doing dramery stuff, and not so good. But he did it with Peter Davison in The Last Detective, and I don't mean he did it with Peter Davison. I do apologise for the wording of that. He did a show with Peter Davison called The Last Detective. But yeah, I think he tried to be kind of like a bit like Alan Davis when he tried to do drama, but Alan Davis did it well. The divorce has been modified. But the next one is something that Martin Heron on Twitter put forward. Possession. That's it. Just Possession.
Possession?
Yeah, just called Possession. I'll have to send you the link now on Skype-a-roni.
Oh, don't bother. I'm on my phone.
Oh, well, I've never seen it, so I'll just put the link up and we'll see what we can find.
Okay.
This is a film by someone. It's a young woman left her family for unspecified reasons. Oh. The husband determines to find out the truth and start following his wife. At first he suspects that a man is involved, but gradually finds out more and more strange behaviours and bizarre events that indicate something more than a possessed love affair. 1981. So,
1981.
Who was in it? On IMDb, it doesn't actually say out, to be honest with you.
No one was in it.
Isabel Ajani, Sam Neill, and Margit Carstensen.
You've really picked them with the names today.
Oh, jeez. Does anyone actually know anything about this film? There's some reviews of it. Oh, bugger. It says the story is not a kitchen sink affair, with a surreal examination and division and breakdown set in West Berlin.
Who sent this in?
Someone on Twitter, Martin Heron.
Thanks, Martin Heron.
He also put forward Fantastic Planet, which is that good you forgot about it.
Yeah, well, I'm not sure about that one.
I'll try and see if I can find anything normal about this film, so we can edit in. So we'll go. Oh yeah, Possession. Yeah. Wikipedia. Ah, it's a French cult horror film.
It's got Sam Neill in it.
It has indeed, yeah.
I think I remember it. I think it might have, like, crazy, wacky sequences in it, like he's on drugs. Or maybe he is on drugs. I think I might have seen the end of it. I've got a habit of catching the end of films and ruining them forever for myself.
Brilliant, right? Sorry, just looking at the cast list. Leslie Malton plays Sarah, woman with club foot.
Hey!
Are you the woman with the club foot? Yeah, that's brilliant. Can I have your autograph? I mean, that must be terrible.
It's a good name for a nightclub.
The next one on the list is a classic, an American classic, The X-Files.
Yeah.
I've recently tried to start at the start. It'll
really?
Take about 4 billion years to get back, because I've obviously watched them all properly back in the day. But a brilliant show, and yes, it did go a little bit wayward when they tried to be a bit more continued narrative structure.
It did get pretty strange, didn't it?
Well, I think it alienates viewers at the end of the day. If you have a Monster of the Week thing, it's fine.
Yeah.
But then when you start kind of having these massive arcs about the government and Mulder and stuff like that, it does kind of... But the recent film, like about 4 years ago or something like that, that was rubbish.
It's older than that, isn't it? Actually, that reminds me, really? I was going to say about Strange. Strange seemed very Monster of the Week.
Yeah, I think that's a good route to go down initially, isn't it?
I don't know. It's a bit tried, isn't it?
Well, you can't really. You can. Well, you can do an arc thing, but I think it gets a little bit boring for people because you can't really switch off from it. You turn into X Files like 1 week. Oh, you got like Tombs or something like that or something.
Amazing, yeah.
Yeah, you know, and then like later on, it was like, oh, you've got to remember who that guy is with the hat on. It's like, oh no, what? Who's he? And yeah, so I think that. They had to go down that route eventually because it's probably easier for writers to do an arc thing,
yeah.
Rather than keep having to devise a new monster. But absolutely brilliant show. I think it'll be struggle to do anything as amazing as that again.
Do you think? You think it's that good?
I do, yeah.
About loads of stuff, though, if I'm honest.
I still want to be Mulder, to be honest with you. I think Mulder is, like, kind of my icon.
The problem is you'll always be Scully to me.
Well, the thing is, it went a bit funny when you had that guy out of Terminator in.
Yeah, I didn't watch that. And was it Xena as well?
I don't know if she was in it. No, I could be wrong.
Lucy Lawless. I'm sure she was.
Lucy Lawless, X-Files.
You're the fan, Ian.
I know, I can't remember Lucy Lawless being in it. Yes, she was. Lucy Lawless was in X-Files. Yes, she was in the ninth series, yes.
Yeah, when Mulder and Scully had gone, I went off it.
Yeah, like David Duchovny was like, oh, I'm sick of this. You know, I want to do something else. I want to be doing more porny sort of stuff.
Yeah, California.
But yeah, I do think it's obviously it's built on various shows such as Twin Peaks and whatnot, you know. But I think lots of shows try and be like it and stuff like that, but they never kind of grab. And I suppose it's one of the things is when you're growing up as well, you have a special thing for it. Like when I was about 13, 14, I was started coming on stuff, so I was a lot more into it.
Yeah.
Maybe as if I'd been like your age, I might be a bit like, yeah. You know, I'm too busy watching someone I'm getting drunk and throwing a midget over the fence, you know.
Yeah. He enjoyed it. But yeah, I think maybe I got a bit older as it started to wane, so I was more open to the fact that it had gone downhill. I mean, it went downhill I can remember once with Scully having nosebleeds that I didn't really enjoy. You know, it wasn't just when they changed characters that it went downhill. It took a bit of a dip probably about halfway through Mulder and Scully, didn't it?
Well, the film was pretty good, the original film. That was like an extension of the show at the time. I think I was about the 6 or 7 series or something. That was pretty good. But yeah, I think it did kind of wane. But you can't blame Chris Carter. It's like, oh, well, you know, do you want to do another series? All right, then. You know, the whole cast's gone. Never mind. You know, I'll keep doing it.
Yeah.
They did actually do a spin-off show as well, The Lone Gunmen.
Yeah.
The guys, yeah.
Never saw it.
Was very good, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
No.
I can believe it.
But the next one, I think, might have some sort of significance for you. Randall and Hopkirk.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I love
the originals.
Yeah, I love the original Randall and Hopkirk. Never got into the Vic and Bob version. Never watched more than one or two. But
no, I don't think anyone did.
The originals, from the premise to the costumes to the theme tune to the way it's shot, is all brilliant. I love it. As a sort of late 60s, early 70s memoir, it's brilliant as well. And the first band I formed was named Hopkirk after Hopkirk from Randall and Hopkirk.
I think it's one of them shows that when you try and do it again, it's always going to be a bit empty, you know, and a bit, yeah, because what they try to do with it, I always felt Vic and Bob were miscast as well. I felt like it should have been opposites.
And
you know,
and what's her name? Fox was in it as well. And she,
I like Amelia Fox,
she,
you know.
She seemed like an odd choice for a part in that.
Yeah, I probably because Vic was having some relations with her. Well, I think he might have had relations afterwards, but...
What?
He was Fox and the Fox. Yeah, indeed, yeah. Hashtag that, yeah. It just had a good balance of humour as well. But it's just a great concept, isn't it, really?
That was a wig as well, you know.
Really?
Hopkirk's hair, it wasn't real, yeah.
Oh, man. He died quite early. Was he called Pratt? Or
yeah, Ken Pratt.
But yeah, it's a brilliant show, and I remember watching when I was a kid on Granada Plus.
I've got a book upstairs, a Randall and Hopkirk book from like the 70s that I found somewhere, and did I get them on? Can you get them on DVD? Probably.
I reckon you can, yeah.
I haven't got them on DVD. I think I've got them all on video.
Right, right. Was there any series of it?
Do you know, I can't remember. I think there was a couple.
Because there's two series of the new ones.
But, yeah, I was surprised it got two.
Yeah, yeah. Charlie Higson did a lot of the scripts as well for that. Just a little side point there for you, you know.
Let's have a look. 1969-70, there was 26 episodes.
That was probably about two series, wouldn't it, probably back then?
I don't know if they ran concurrently, though, I think. It looks like it started in September and it finished the following March. So I think it was just one very long series.
Wow, bloody hell. That's a long series.
The trouble is, when they repeat these things, it was like with The Prisoner. You're never sure if you're getting them in the right order. And that always puts you off watching them.
I know what you mean. It's like, I think especially when it's ITV as well.
Yeah.
They have quite a haphazard way of putting things out. But yeah, it's another kind of very, very cult British thing.
Like you were saying, it's quite bouncy. Some of the humour is quite childish, but I don't know, I just get sold. I think Ken Pratt was a great actor. Sorry, Mike Pratt, not Ken Pratt. Who else? Ken Pratt. Mike Pratt, he was a great actor, and he smoked like a chimney, and that's what killed him.
Oh.
But he was brilliant, and he had that sort of rugged, beaten-up look all the time, like somebody had hung him over a washing line and hit him with a carpet beater for 40 years. Didn't he? He looked great, and he was always smoking and drinking, but in a nice way.
Yeah, yeah, of course, yeah. The next one I'm going to throw at you is Ultraviolet. A one-series wonder on Channel 4.
Now, wasn't Ultraviolet something to do with Strange?
No, it wasn't. I was talking about it with Danny on the Untrue's 90s one, and I don't think it had any links, but I think it was the guy who was wrote some Doctor Who. I'm trying to think who it was now.
Chibnall?
No, but someone close to the Chibbers, I think, maybe.
Sorry, I beg your pardon. It was directed by
Joe Ahern.
Directed Strange.
Oh, right. That's the link. Right, yeah, yeah. To me, it was a brilliant show. This is 1998 British show on Channel 4. Jack Davenport, Susanna Harker, and Idris Elba. You know, and obviously everyone knows at least two of them, if not Susanna Harker. I think Susanna Harker is in...
Superman?
Oh, no. Sapphire and Steel. She does the Sapphire and Steel stuff on Big Finish.
Oh. Yeah, I remember. She's quite she's quite memorable looking.
Yeah, she is, yeah.
No,
yeah.
I think she's good looking. Oh, my cat's just being sick.
Oh, because of Susanna Harker.
Yeah, I don't think he likes us talking about it. Well, that'll teach you to eat plants. I can see that plant. Serves you right. I've told you before. Now, don't gack it up on my carpet again.
That was actually quite a loud sick.
Yeah, and that told him, didn't it? Oh, he's still going, look. Come on, Sarge. That's not very nice. It's not very pleasant, is it? Have you finished? Just spitting up. Sit in your box. Get in your cardboard box and sit in there. That'll make you feel better. Just get in your cardboard box. Don't sniff my amplifiers. Just get in your cardboard box. You know, it makes you feel better. No, he's looking at the spit on the floor. So anyway, yeah, Ultraviolet. I remember it was kind of, it was a very modern take on vampires, wasn't it? And it was all quite sciencey, and it was a bit Secret Service-y. Is that right?
Yeah, well, the guy, Stephen Moyer, is now in True Blood as well. That was Jack Davenport's partner in it, police partner in it.
Do you know, I was only thinking today how much I dislike True Blood. I watched the first series.
I'm not a fan either, to be honest with you.
I watched all the first series and I thought it was okay, but now I just think it's a bit oversexed and a bit rubbish.
Yeah, I think I watched a couple of episodes and I was a bit, yeah. But Idris Elba, obviously, who plays Luther and stuff now.
Never seen it.
He's also on The Wire, apparently, as well, or was on The Wire.
Yeah, I heard
it. Basically, it was like vampires and stuff, and you had a Catholic priest, and you had, it was all this kind of a shady group who were trying to stop these vampires, and Jack Davenport's mate, Jack, went to the vampire side, and he had to kind of fight them and stuff, and it was pretty good. It was I think it would be interesting if they'd done more with it, where it would have went, you know.
How long did it go on? Was it just six episodes?
Just one series, yeah. I think it might have been six or eight, let's have a look.
I can remember watching it.
Yeah, six, yeah, just six, yeah.
What year was it?
98.
98, that late?
It was post This Life for Jack Davenport, you see.
It would be, it wouldn't. Nothing was pre This Life for any of them.
Well, no. Did you enjoy This Life, finally, just as a side?
I was, yeah, addicted to it. What was that, 96, 97? I can remember watching it avidly. When Millie punched. Oh, yeah, get her, Millie. I can't believe she did it.
But don't mention the reunion special, because that was cash.
No, I was disappointed.
Yeah, it felt a bit pointless, didn't it?
Yeah.
The last thing, which is, it's just a cheeky bonus for people.
You mean?
Music thing here. An album I really like, and I think geeky cult people will be interested in it as well because of the subject matter. It's a band called Manson from Liverpool, and they did an album in 1998 called Six. And it's bizarre. It's a very bizarre prog rock album, and it had, for geeky reference here, it had Tom Baker. Doing a spoken monologue about Brian Jones's death on it, and it was pretty mad.
It was basically
like a band that had kind of had got a little bit of fame, and then they suddenly went all drugged up and weird and stuff, and depression and stuff, and this is what happened.
Now, I've got the greatest hits of Manson, but it's not one that I've ever put on. I have watched the DVD. What was the songs off this album that I would recognise from the chart?
Legacy. Being a Girl,
yeah,
and Negative, they were probably the main ones. But they didn't really release. Six was another one as well, which off the album. But they didn't really release that much of it because all the tracks were really long.
Right.
So
they seem like the sort of band that I should like, but I don't because they're slightly too annoying.
I know where you come from. Some people see it as annoying, but I think pretentious is the word you're looking for.
Yes.
I had the front cover, a massive poster when I was a kid, and it was like you had Tom Baker in it and stuff, and you had Winnie the Pooh, and then you had the Marquis de Sade and books and stuff. It was very bizarre front cover.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it's we're definitely worth a listen just because it's a very epic album, and and obviously listen to Tom Baker's cool voice as well.
Yeah, he's cool, isn't he? He should be Sir. Well, yeah, I'll try and listen to some stuff, you know, some stuff. I know that they were quite a band of some strange extremes.
Yeah, they went a bit near after that album. They went trying to go a bit mainstream. Didn't really work, to be honest with you. But like a lot of bands, they kind of, it might not be the most kind of commercially viable.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, it's definitely worth a listen.
It's interesting, is it? It's interesting. Is that what you're saying?
I think it is. So what would your cult tips be from today's podcast that you think people should listen to then?
Well, before that, Danny Davies, 23, he wanted us to talk about Nightbreed because he's going on about that all the while. You know, it's like him and Nightbreed have just started dating and they want to see each other all the time and, you know, hold hands in the park.
Status updates and liking each other.
Yeah, poke. So Nightbreed, let's talk about that. Do you remember it?
Nope. I'm just looking it up now, and it's something that I'm annoyed that I haven't seen, to be honest with you.
Yeah, Clive Barker. It was after Hellraiser.
Mm-hmm.
I remember, I have seen it, and it's so 80s that that's my lasting opinion of it, I think. But I have seen it. It just seemed like a pretty strange idea. I know Clive Barker is a bit of a strange one.
Mm, he is, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how to describe it really. It was a commercial and critical failure, but I think the reason that people are excited at the moment is because there's potential for it. Was severely fucked about by the studio, and there's potential for a new release of the director's cut kind of thing, isn't there?
Yeah.
So people are excited, but I can't remember it being that worthwhile. But from what Danny Davies says, it's like the second coming of the Stone Roses, this, which I'm also not that keen on, by the way, listeners. Jeez.
I think Clive Barker's done some good stuff, and I think there's definitely I've definitely got a lot of time for stuff that's really really. I mean, it was a 1990 film, but that sort of late 80s sort of thing. It's like when I watched Demons, the Argento film.
Yeah.
The music really dates it and makes it very 80s. But I think there's something definitely very likable about that sort of.
Who did the music on that?
It was Various. Was it? To be honest with you, it was that band Various. Yeah. Yeah, no, it wasn't. It was loads of different bands, quite a lot of kind of commercial stuff, you know, kind of rock sort of commercial type stuff. Just from the poster alone, it looks kind of bizarre. It looks very, like, badly photoshopped.
Nightbreed.
Yeah, the Nightbreed thing, but obviously not photoshopped. But, yeah, it looks a bit random, to say the least.
John Merrick there on the left.
Indeed, and it's also got David Cronenberg in as well. So.
I know, acting.
Yeah.
That's weird, isn't it?
I wonder if I can unearth this. I'm sure it's on DVD for 50 pence or something.
Right, I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that it was written by Clive Barker, based on a book by Clive Barker, and directed by Clive Barker.
You're Wikipedia-ing it. I know.
Yeah, screaming vanity project to me. And I can't remember enjoying it, but maybe it was just the 80s-ness of it, and maybe they can tidy that up. Who knows?
There was two video games apparently released, one on the Commodore Amiga. Oh,
oh wow, the Amiga.
Yeah, I used to have Amiga, but I never played this.
I never did.
I'm sure someone will be doing plan to do a remake of this or something at some point.
You'd hope so. No, I don't hope so, actually.
But no, if I see it about for a quid, I'll have a dabble, because, it, you know, if Danny's swearing all his conkers on it, it must be good.
He is, he's swearing all his conkers on it.
But yeah, we're going to wrap it up here, and we're going to say keep all the crazy shit coming, and keep telling us about your mad films that you want us to look at.
And anything else. Anything. Just get us to talk about anything. In fact, anything.
I'll probably tomorrow, I'll probably be thinking about a video game that's on the SNES or something.
Oh, yeah, that would be quite good, actually. Bong, 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 bong. Bong, 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 bong. Something like that.
Yeah, so keep your tweets coming in, and we'll see you very soon.
Thanks again.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, Ian.
Bye.
If you like the cult, not the band, but cult stuff, listen to Cultism. EastEnders isn't a cult.